Coach, are you still hanging on to that old shooting machine that's just sitting in storage and not getting used at all? Our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball are here to help trade in your machine. Any make, any model, in any condition, even if it's from a competitor. Plus, you get an extra $250 off the Dr. Dish commercial lineup when you mention Rising Coaches.
I am a big believer in inertia, and that's what I would say when I wanted to get into the coaching realm. Like, a lot of people don't know what to do, especially when you're on the outside. Just do something.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches podcast, we're joined by Austin Kidd, former college assistant coach and current account executive with Synergy Sports. Kidd built his coaching career with stops at Transylvania, Kentucky, Florida Gulf Coast, and the Citadel, gaining experience at multiple levels of the game before making the transition out of coaching. Today, he continues to impact the basketball world through his work with Synergy Sports. In this episode, we discuss the story behind his first college coaching opportunity in Division III and how it eventually led him to Kentucky, what drew him to leave the coaching profession after years on the sidelines, and some exciting projects and opportunities Synergy Sports has on the horizon.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Rising Coaches podcast. Doug Caputo with my guy, Alan Major, here. We're excited to chop it up, talk some hoops with another person, former coach in the industry, and the account executive with Synergy Sports, ladies and gentlemen, Austin Kidd. Austin, thanks for hopping on.
Thank you, guys. It's really cool to be on here with you. I've been involved with Rising Coaches for probably a decade now, since I was a young guy in the business. So kind of a full circle moment. It's really cool to be on.
No, thank you, man. Thank you. I'm glad you could do it.
Austin, I'm glad you said that, because that actually hits perfectly when you were younger in the business, because there's something that I dug up about you that I don't think that you even know. You coached against me.
No way.
You coached against me in Transylvania. You were there 2014, 2015.
John Carroll.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Coming back.
First season.
Oh, my goodness.
That was your first season to start your coaching career, and that was my junior year of college. You coached against me.
I didn't do very good homework then, because usually anytime coming into this, I do a little bit of prep, obviously, and I didn't pick up on that. That's impressive. And I know we didn't win that game, so that's probably why.
I had a good game. I don't want to sit here and talk about myself. No, but I saw that. I was like, Transylvania. I was like, that's interesting. Saw the years. I'm like, wait a minute.
I'm going to pull up my old scout after this. I know I have my old scout. I'm going to send you what the text
Please.
Says.
Oh, I guess. We got
I would this, love man. To see that.
No doubt.
See if I can
do a poor man's
personnel edit. Yeah.
Yeah.
A poor man's foreman is what Mage calls me. So that
poor man's foreman. Yep.
But anyway, to get back on track, talk about you a little bit here. So the one thing I actually appreciate a lot about your journey is that it shows the young coaches there isn't one specific blueprint, right? You started at Division III level. You coached to learn, build relationships, ultimately worked your way into some great opportunities, which we will get into. But for a lot of coaches, making that jump from D3 to Division I, that's the dream, I feel like. That's what everybody wants to do. I should say everybody wants to be right in Division I. But to make that jump is a lot of things that a lot of people want to do, and you've lived it. How did that first opportunity with Transylvania come about? And then talk about how that transition from there to then getting into the University of Kentucky, one of the pinnacles of basketball, that whole transition went along.
Yeah, absolutely. It boils down to, this would be a theme, and it's the same for most people in the business. I was very fortunate to be around really good people, really good coaches from a young age. The guy I played for is in the Hall of Fame at Samford, the guy I played for in high school, and just had connections and was a student at University of Kentucky. I had the option to pursue a manager spot there, which would have been really cool. And guys, I grew up a diehard Kentucky fan. I caught the tail end of the Patino era. It was mostly Tubby Smith. John Calipari came in when I was in high school, and it was like John Wall, the coolest thing ever. We were back on top again, and I lived it. It inspired. It's influenced me to the day. It's inspired my love for the game. So was a student there, had some relationships, some connections with the staff at Transylvania. If you're from Kentucky, you probably went to Lane Basketball Camp growing up. It's probably the biggest camp here in Kentucky in the Midwest, and went to those camps, and my coach reached out to Coach Lane and just kind of came in. He was like, hey, come around, stick around. And I'd say the thing that I did well that allowed me to stick was I showed up every day and I had a little bit of initiative. I don't know if I was born with it. My parents taught it to me, but I've been able to stick with a lot of roles because I'm really good at, not to toot my own horn, I'm good at figuring things out. I really like to know how things work and I look for opportunities. Okay, I started going in and I figured out really quickly how to set the clock up every day. So I started doing that. And then I would just run the clock. Coach never had to ask me to. Figured out where the mop was, come in, sweep the floor early. Anything I could do like that without being asked, I just started doing it. And I think Coach Lane after a little bit was like, all right, this guy's helping a little bit. We'll keep him around. We'll throw him some shoes or whatever. And then before I knew it, he set me up with a Synergy account. So I had a little bit of more responsibility there, a little bit more opportunity. And that's where I really cut my teeth. My first real responsibility with film was scouting opponent baseline outplays, which any young coach, if you're trying to get into film, looking back on it, that was a great place to start because it's a really controlled environment in terms of film. A lot of times it's a dead ball always. A lot of times you're coming out of a timeout. Like, you know where guys are supposed to be. You know what the alignment's supposed to be. You know what they're trying to do because everybody's set. So it's really easy to figure out what's going on and to start scouting stuff and building it out. So anybody that's trying to get into the film world, figure out what you're doing. Like, scouting baseline out is a great place to start. But yeah, just stuck it out and kept showing up every day and kept trying to do more stuff until they couldn't get rid of me.
Wow. You know what? I love what you said there. You mentioned not having to be told and just seeing where you can add value. And once you create a little momentum for that, young coaches need to hear that. That's why I was glad you said it. But once you create a little bit of momentum for that, like, the whole building starts to figure out, okay, we got this guy, we can let him go. Just point him in a direction and we can let him go. And that tip about the under OBs, it's funny you say this, and I'm dating myself way, way back, but this is before the days of Synergy, of course. And when I was a manager at Purdue, I would ride along with the assistants every now and then when they could live scout. So I'm really dating myself when you talk about live scouting. But when I would tag along, go to Illinois and watch the Ohio State Illinois game in Champaign. And the assistant would see, he'd be like, all right, you got under OBs. And he said, I'll just give you one tip. Just watch one guy, and that'll tell you what the rest of the set is going on. And so that always stuck with me. But it's just the adding value thing. It sounds like that really, you caught fire with that early on and just let that create some momentum for yourself.
Absolutely. I'm a big believer in inertia. And that's what I would say when I wanted to get into the coaching realm, like, a lot of people don't know what to do, especially when you're on the outside. It just do something. And that's what I reached out. And I don't share this story all the time. It's kind of cool. Actually, before I was at Transy, my coach set me up. There was a school in Lexington set up me to go to a practice with the middle school program. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. It was the seventh grade team. And I walk in the door and it turns out two of the kids on that team I ended up coaching against at the Division I level. And you'll know these guys if you're real basketball junkies. Coached against them in the ASUN. One of them's Kyle Rode, who played at Liberty, was an all-conference player. He's actually on staff there now, so he's coaching. The other one was Carter Hendrickson, who is in the record book at the University of North Florida. So those were the two kids on the seventh grade team. So when I walked in, I was like, I don't remember seventh grade basketball being like this. Both those kids were like 6'2", 6'3", in seventh grade. This is unbelievable. But then shortly after that, I got in touch with Coach Lane, and it's just, it's inertia. It's putting something in motion, just doing something and building on that. And yeah, go ahead and stop rolling yet.
No, I love it. No, we got basketball and science going on this morning, man. We got hoops and inertia. We got it.
Inertia, though. I like that. I like that a lot because
great word.
You're right. You got to be, and we've heard it more than enough too, is like, you got to be present. You got to be in front of people to be able to get your name out there, to be able to get your work ethic out there. And you got to push it or get it in motion at some point in order for the rest of it to start to come about. You can't get lucky if you're not getting yourself out in the opportunities to get lucky. So that's a great way. I like that. Well, using inertia.
And plus, the NBA guys say this all the time, and you actually put it into action without even knowing maybe that was a thing at that level. But they say that all the time at that level, be seen and not heard. And you learned early on the value of being seen and not heard. Because if Austin's always vocal and running his mouth, then it's like, all right, the more he's talking, the less he's doing. So you just figured out, I'm going to be seen and I'm going to add value. And I'm going to, whether it's the clock or get to the gym early, make sure the court gets mopped, get the wet towels, go up and down the floor, whatever it looks like. So that's great advice for the young crowd, man.
And it couldn't be more transparent as to just bringing the clock out. That resonates with me a ton. You bring the clock out, you do it once, somebody asks for it once, do it again the second time. Now it's going to become your job. Then it becomes consistent. Once it becomes consistent, now it becomes a duty of yours. And then you get another one. Once, okay, this kid is consistently bringing the clock out. He's doing, that sounds so silly, but that's how it works. Okay, I can rely on him to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Nate, there's a phrase or quote that says, do it out of duty until you do it out of love. And sometimes you just start doing something and you're maybe not too fired up about it. But then after a while, the clock became personal for you, right? At first, it was kind of like, I'm going to do it because it needs to be done. Then after a while, it's like, I'm going to do this because I know I'm the best at even this little thing. I'm the best at handling this right here.
You take pride in that.
That, there you go.
You exactly. Take pride in that. Yeah. 100%. So let me ask you, going from Trent, did you have something?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, absolutely having pride in it. It coaches always talk about feel. Does a guy have feel or not? And it's sometimes it's hard to coach feel. Some guys are born with it. You got a lot of guards that just naturally, they probably never worked with anyone. They know how to read a ball screen, read that second level of defense. I'd say that's something I was blessed with, but I worked at it too. You learn how to read a room. And part of that is the science behind it. Like coaches say all this stuff. You got all this coach speak. What are the tangible actions behind it? My tangible actions for working on my field were like lifting up the hood, figuring out how everything works. So thinking back to then, just riffing off the clock example, we practiced in a couple different gyms and we had two separate clocks. We had the big fancy one in the main court in the Beck Center, learning how that thing worked, where it was, if it was not on the court, like where did they store it away? How did I get into that room? Because I was a volunteer guy. I didn't have keys to everywhere to start. When we were practicing in the rec center, you had to go into the weight room and talk to some of the staff and figuring out how to finesse that because I didn't have a staff ID and I had to convince them like, hey, I'm helping out the basketball team. Can you please give me the clock? I got to get it over here and get it set up for the teams here. Can I please get in the closet, get the mops out so I can sweep the floor? Most of the times they were cool with that. They were like, you're going to sweep the floor for me? I don't have to do that. Absolutely. Here you go. But yeah, just lifting up the hood and figuring out how everything works, which was a theme. And I'm sure I'll touch on that again through my career that I think helped me find success.
Love it.
And then you go Transylvania, as you mentioned, Kentucky, Florida Gulf Coast, Citadel. You weren't in any like small spots, right? You had some great areas, great schools that you have seen, like Kentucky, FGCU, Citadel. Those three, what surprised you once you finally got into the door at those high major Division I levels? Was there something that you saw, okay, this is how Transylvania did it as a D3, and then you see a Division I program? Is there, what was like a big difference between the two, excluding the fact that each of them had way more resources and a lot more money?
Kentucky being the real exception to that. I don't want to say too much surprised me. I think it's the people resources around it, but at Kentucky, like you're at the top, I was super familiar with the program. Like I went to school there. I knew all the guys that were the support staff guys, the managers, hung out with those guys. Some of them are my best friends to this day. So we just kind of clicked and really familiar with the program, even when I wasn't around it. But when I got there, it was kind of like, oh shoot. Like you see the fear of becoming idle or the fear of not being great. And every day you're coming in trying to win a championship. It's not like, okay, we're going to recruit and then we just roll out the balls for practice and then we're trying to win everything. It's like in the preseason, like the amount of film you're doing, the preparation you're doing for the guys in setting yourself up to compete for a national title. That was much more than I expected. Because you just think when you have so much better players, when you have all these resources, I don't want to say you come in expecting to coast, like, you know, you're going to have to work hard, but yeah, that the fear of complacency, that's the word I'm looking for. And Cal didn't let that slide with anyone, kept everybody on their toes. Yeah, that was probably the biggest surprise. Like going to Florida Gulf Coast and to Citadel, I had a pretty good idea what I was getting to because I had good relationships. People were really honest with me going into those jobs. And I was prepared for it from Transy. There's just so much more you're responsible for and you have to figure out. Like you have to be super creative. You don't have it. You learn to be very grateful for your resources. But you make 5.5 cents out of a nickel.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I can imagine at a place like Kentucky too, like it's actually good that you had a little bit of a grinding background going into there because you sometimes when you jump right into that level, whether it's even as a manager, you can let those resources maybe lull you to sleep because you do have a lot of access to things and you can maybe not understand the value of finding a way sometimes. because you do have just about everything almost handled. I'm not saying that those guys don't grind it. They have to grind in their own way, but just having an appreciation for not having to having all that. And then you come into a place and you're like, oh, this is great, but I still got my find a way mindset regardless. That was probably a good thing. That it's the best of both worlds, really, to have that find a way mindset, but still have the resources as well.
Exactly. I said it like Cal was really intentional with like nobody at any point being around that program thought, I've made it. We're on top. This is the pinnacle. This is where I wanted to be. I'm here. We're good. That it was the opposite of that. You felt like you are at a program that had never been to the NCAA tournament, like just fighting to get there.
Yeah.
I got another. Yeah. This is one I told somebody this other day, and I hadn't really reflected much on it. But now that he's done what he's done in the league, it's a funny story. Like it was about this time of year, probably 8 years ago now, we had just missed. I thought we were getting Trae Young. I don't know if that's common knowledge or not. We didn't have the typical Cal class coming in, had a commitment from a kid who I don't want to say nobody was excited about, but they didn't have like super lofty expectations for. They weren't a lottery pick projection. And after the first couple practices, like just summer practices and workouts, I was like, holy crap, this kid's like pretty good. Like I think he's going to play for us quite a bit.
I know where this is going.
Ended up starting the summer and became one of our better players. And before you know it, he's the back-to-back MVP of the league, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That was another experience at Kentucky. Like this is a guy who's probably going to be here a couple years. Nope. And just unbelievable what Shai's done.
Oh my God. Yeah. But he still is grinding like a rookie.
Yeah, absolutely. And he had that mentality at Kentucky. He was the epitome of Cal keeping everybody on their toes. We're not going to be complacent in any capacity. Like Shai embodied that. He worked harder than anyone and it's paid off.
Love it.
Yeah, it paid off. You got a championship. You got MVP awards. You have more than enough. I shouldn't say more than enough. You know, he's probably not happy and wants more. But you have a lot of good that has come through out of it. Now, the golden question. See, this is what everybody – this is the golden question right here is, right? Everybody has the reason why they get into coaching, whether they wanted to initially or whether they just ended up getting into it, ironically. But for you, I know you're happy, and we were talking before when we hopped on, like I know you got a really good thing going on with Synergy right now, but the years you spent in coaching, you had some great jumps, you had some great opportunities and programs that you were around, but what really attracted you to step away from the hoop side to get into Synergy and look at basketball from a different perspective?
Yeah, that's a great question. And this is something that I'd like to hear more coaches talk about. My last year in the coaching side of things, like I really struggled mentally. And I was never someone who thought that would happen to me. I was around a lot of guys, and I see it a lot now on the outside, just with friends and kids and the stuff that I'm involved with. You pick up pretty quickly on kids when they're feeling down. You talk to them, hey, what's going on? And you hear stuff like, this is just an example. Hey, I just bombed a test. And you ask, what happened? I'm not in a good place. I bombed a test. I'm not in a good place mentally. I'm really down right now. Why'd you bomb your test? Did you study? No. Did you put in the work? Do you have the right to feel like you do right now? Probably not. And I had that approach to how I was feeling. Like, dude, is it because I'm not working hard enough? Like, nobody cares, work harder, right? That's a mentality a lot of people have. But I had some cracks that I wasn't addressing. I was not taking care of myself, like, mentally and physically. And I just wasn't the best version of myself. I wasn't able to give my coach and the program and those players the best version of myself in what they deserved. So I was looking at stepping away, hitting the reset button, really focusing on addressing some of this stuff. The opportunity for Synergy came up, and talk about basketball being a small world. It also has a lot of gravity with people, especially. Back when I was in the video room at Transy, like down in the basement of this little video room, I remember when I had that Synergy account set up and I was like, this is great, because I'd seen other coaches on it. Hopped on with a guy named Matthew Curley, who's the OG of Synergy, was there with us in Indy. And he did the training. That was back when he was doing that stuff before he was really high up in the company. And I'd kept in touch with him all those years, and they had an opportunity. And I think every coach, if you asked them, like, nobody knows what you want to do when you're in coaching. You're like, if I got to get out, like, what am I going to do? Go sell insurance? Or like, what do you transition out to? I think if you ask most of them what would be your dream transition out, they'd probably say, I'll go work at Synergy, right? Like,
right.
That it couldn't have played out any better. They had a position open up, and it seemed I hit the ground running. I got to hit the reset button, and it's been phenomenal working here. It's like the staffs that I've worked on. It's great people. It's really easy to work for a company you believe in. I've seen it firsthand. I've used it, experienced it. It's driven a lot of my success. So that was really cool. But that's kind of the background of the transition there.
You know what? We've had a few people on this pod, and we're approaching, this might be close to 300 episodes if we're not getting there already. And I'm not saying that to toot our horns. I'm saying it because we've had the best that we've had share what you just shared. I don't know, Doug, you may agree with me. It's probably Jeff Capel. In terms of just really getting transparent with his mental health challenges. He was in a dark spot there at Pitt for a while. In a year, he thought he was going to get let go. But he had mentioned losing his joy. And just to tap into this a little bit more, because again, this is why we think our pod is a little different, because we could talk Pistol Ghost Flare all we want, but this is really important. When did you start to feel that feeling, right? We all know what that feeling is. When did you start to feel it? And do you think it was because of the ultra competitiveness of coaching, and you see a side of it that maybe you didn't think you would see from the way maybe guys can treat each other or guys that maybe you thought were going to be friends all of a sudden were not friends? When did you start to feel that feeling, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I will say I've worked with some of the best people in the business. The guys, this is probably why I didn't go into a darker spot. Like the guys from Transylvania, Coach Lane, I talk to him all the time. I swing by the gym, I go to their games. He comes and hangs out with me at the Final Four every year. The guy I was the assistant with that I spent the most time with, we're actually, I think, about to start a kindergarten through second grade league in Lexington. So that's probably going to be my next basketball venture from college to kindergarten.
Love it.
Yeah. Write a playbook on that.
Right.
The guys at Kentucky, had guys in my wedding, like some of my best friends in the world, like hang out with every weekend. Few of them are still in it. Few of them gotten out. Talk to those guys every day. Our staff at FGCU, like that's probably where it started. And it wasn't anything to do with the people. We got let go there. And I'd been in the support staff role. Like it was through COVID. I was the Dobo and the video coordinator full time. I wanted to do both those things really well. Like it was my goal to be the best at both and to support that staff. And they were awesome people too, which made me want to work even harder. Some of the best humans in the business, Joey Cantins, who's now the head coach at FIU. You have Justin Furr at Barry U, Donnie Marsh, who's in Indiana in the WNBA with his son, Tyler, who's the head coach, Chicago. Michael Fly, GM of Florida State, like Kevin Sutton. I don't know if y'all familiar with Coach Sutton.
Yeah.
Was at Pitt for a while.
Oh yeah.
Georgetown down at St. Episcopal, and then BJ Ivey, who's at Syracuse. Like these, I literally talk to these guys. Like we have a group text every single day, but it was through that time. There were things that I was neglecting. There was a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, and it was, you don't have time to slow down. You have to be very intentional about your mental and your physical health. And I wasn't that's the one thing I neglected the most, and it caught up to me.
Yeah. No, we appreciate you sharing that, man. That is probably as important as anything that we'll come up with and talk about today, because there's a line in this movie called Jerry Maguire. Tom Cruise plays an agent, and he wrote that manifesto, The Things We Think But Do Not Say. And mental health and understanding that there can be a dark path in this business if you maybe neglect it or don't address it to the degree that you should, or you think it's just a stigma, or you think it's just being soft, or whatever you want to call it, right? But I think when Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan came out a few years back in the NBA and talked about it openly, I think that allowed everybody else to have a certain degree of courage to actually address it. Anyway, that's great, man. We really appreciate you sharing that.
Go ahead.
You got it, Doug.
I was going to say, I think it's something that a lot of people don't talk about. They don't feel free enough to be able to open up and discuss it. I think it's one of those things I've heard somebody say before. Oh yeah. It's especially as a coach, you don't know where your next step's going to be if you don't have a job, and there's so much stress behind it, obviously. And you don't know where you're going to be going. Everything happens by the snap of your fingers, and you could be across the country at a different point. And then if you have something, you have to pack it up and move it. And obviously the stress of not winning games for however many months the season goes on, you start losing those first five games, you're already thinking of how that season's going to end, whether it's being discussed or not, right? And I can't say I've been fortunate to not be able to be in those situations, but I know we've talked with more than enough people and had those discussions where you hear it from people. And a lot of times, especially nowadays, there's so much money involved with it that sometimes the kids don't even put forth, or they blow a game on purpose. They're coming out with more and more cases right now that a kid blows a game, and that's costing the head coach's job and the assistants their jobs. And these kids are just doing it for a couple dollars. And that's a whole other topic, but there's just so many factors that go into it that you don't even have any control over sometimes the future. And it's all circling up there. So it's all transparent, all good stuff to be able to discuss.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's hard to win. There are a lot of factors that you feel like you're fighting against, but yeah, that's my biggest takeaway is it's real. And there's so many people that I just had the mentality, like, I'm not going to wallow in my self-pity. I need to pick myself up. And I think it's okay to take a step back and just say, hey, is there something bigger? What's the reason behind this? Just like I would talk to with one of my players. Mm-hmm. I would give the advice out, like, let's examine this. I didn't do it myself. I was hypocritical there. But yeah, some of that stuff, it's okay. And if you can nip it at the bud, maybe it doesn't evolve into something that takes away from your passion.
Yeah. Said, man.
Yeah. Winning causes or solves a lot of problems. So it also can create a lot, but it definitely solves a lot of problems.
Right.
But no, that's great stuff to be able to discuss. So going into, I want to make sure we leave a little bit of time just to be able to talk about. I know you said that there were some new things with Synergy on the horizon and some things that you wanted to discuss. So I'll just let you go from there.
Yeah, there's a ton on the horizon with Synergy and where things are going. It's really exciting. I think we're on the verge of, you had the guys that were talking about live scouting. You got the cutting, like the physical cutting of the tape, you know, and patching stuff together. And Marty Richter had a good episode on that where he was talking about the VHS tapes. When I went into Kentucky, like, they've had the same video guy since Rick Pitino, a guy named Tim Asher. And he has this room with all these servers, then another room with all these VHS tapes, and then a room with these stacks and stacks of these CD books, and then like all these old envelopes and stuff from guys who used to trade film with back in the day, where you would like literally drive up and meet up in the middle of the night. And now we've had Synergy in these online video databases, in like the next evolution of that, I think, is all of this data and people building their own systems with it. So we have all the Synergy log data. One of the things really popular right now is our API. And essentially, I don't know if you guys are familiar with API. It's like just this data pipeline, and you can plug it in and build your own stuff with it. You have access to everything that we've logged, all the other stuff we've collected, the box scores and stuff over time. And teams are using it to build their own like NIL projections, their own player impact projections. Hey, I've got a kid transferring from the SEC who played 10 minutes a game, and he's transferring over here to the OVC. Like, what can we project him to perform if he's at 30 minutes a game? Guys like, hey, if he put up these numbers, like, what's his value on the NIL market if he stays with us versus in the open market? So they're using the API for that. I would really encourage any of these young guys coming up to get familiar with Python and how they can take some of these APIs and build models. That's probably the most interesting thing. That and our player tracking. Our player tracking is computer vision. Like, everybody likes the tag phrase AI, but we've got a really cool, it's been available for the NBA teams. It's trickling down to Division I, and it's going to trickle down to the rest of college and eventually high school. But we can plug a game in, the computer can break it down for us in a matter of a few minutes. And it's not just the traditional Synergy data. It's hundreds of thousands of data points. And you're looking at paint touches and ball reversals and the different ball screen defenses and every pick and roll, regardless. Like, when you get on the Synergy site right now, you pull up pick and roll ball handlers, right? You're just seeing all the instances where there was a scoring chance, like where there was a turnover, a shot went up, an assist, things of that nature. But you don't see all those, like where they run a continuity, they come off one side and they throw it ahead. That doesn't show up on the Synergy page. Now it does with player tracking. And you get to see, like, all right, every time there was a paint touch, what's the next iteration of that? Like, where did they pass? Was it a floater? Was it a dunk? Did they pass to a teammate? Did the teammate take a two? Did they pass to three? Was it to the corner? Was it to the wing? And all of that indirect stuff that doesn't lead to anything, and just what happens and what happens next. So you can see when they get to this, they're not scoring here, but they're really good when they make this decision out of it. So we got to make sure we take that away. So that's the other big thing.
Now, we got to go on. Austin, I was fortunate. We hopped on a call and he was walking me through some of this stuff. And I'm thinking, I'm like, man, I've been doing scouts and it's been taking me a lot longer because I do it all like, I was doing it so much more difficult, making it so much more difficult. And he showed me, he's like, you could easily just do this and this. I'm like, wow, okay, this just completely made life way easier for me. I didn't even know about half the stuff. So it's definitely cool and unique to be able to see the different ways and at least the accessibility, like the easier ways to do things.
Yeah, the Max Editor, anybody that's not familiar with that, you've probably heard of Sports Code. We have a version of our desktop editor where you have the tagging templates. You can work online, offline, seamlessly. You can create your custom tags where you can tag your plays. And that is, for the rising coaches, one of the ways you can use Synergy. Most people probably have access to a Synergy account. If you don't, reach out to me. We'll see what we can do. Especially if you do have a Synergy account and you have Max, please reach out to me. I would love to hop on and spread as much knowledge as I can, share everything I've picked up over time. But using that as a tool to develop your philosophies, one of my favorite things I learned from Ed Conroy at the Citadel was how he handled his teaching tape. So we would go through and everything we did from the beginning of the season, you started it, and it's technique, everything from how we pick the ball up, how we pivot, how we pass with both hands, how we finish around the rim, the decisions we make in certain actions, our different defensive coverages, and you build that up. But the really cool thing about it is if you're doing it for your staff, there's so many different ways you can use it. You can use it when you're bringing new kids in to help get them integrated. You could use it on recruiting visits to show kids like, hey, this is what you don't do well. This is how we're going to develop you. Or this is what you do well. This is what we work on every day. So you're going to fit in seamlessly. Mm-hmm. So just a variety of ways you can use it and help start to build. Like you've got some video substance there, which is always nice for an interview to take with you and to your next spot and whatnot. But the Max is a great way, the Max Editor, great way to build that out, like with your custom tags, the stuff that's important to you that you can go through, tag over top of the Synergy data. You can clip up your practice film and build edits from that.
There's more than enough with Synergy, I feel, or just even film in general. I feel like people don't utilize it maybe to the extent that they should. Like you mentioned, if you go into an interview, you could show them, hey, this is what we've done. This is the type of offense that we've ran at my previous position when I was an assistant, and this is what I want to implement when we get here. You could show them that as an interview. I think that at least allows people to see the visual, but then even on a recruiting perspective, right? You bring kids in on a recruiting trip. I think, I'm sure, now, Mage, you can speak on this, like the high majors. I guess both of you can. The high majors, I'm assuming they use film for recruiting, yeah. Right? This is what you do. This is what you're capable of. Now, I know at least being at the Division III level and the programs that I've been around, we've used it, but maybe not as extensively. I think it's something that, especially at the Division III level, it differentiates you from the majority because not everybody's doing it. So you show the kids the visual. One thing that a guy taught me about the recruiting side is he goes, whether they're in a game or whether they're sitting there, they want to see themselves out there. They want to see themselves with that jersey number. And if as soon as you put that in their head, hey, watch number 10 right here. I can see you. You two have very similar tendencies and styles. Mm-hmm. I think you can be a lot like him. Now, you obviously have to make it comparable. You can't just say, hey, this kid's a lot like you and he's a complete bipolar opposite. But
right.
He's a point guard. This is a big. But as long as you kind of compare those two and then show him the film, recruiting, I think that really kind of gets the wires turned a little bit, like, oh, wow. And now you see yourself out there and then it completely changes things.
Yeah, I think Austin can speak to this as well because he's right in the thick of it. But one thing that's true across all levels, players love pictures. And anytime you can paint a picture for a player, sometimes you can verbally paint a picture through how you say something. But anytime they can visually have a picture because their mind is constantly taking snapshots. And anytime you can capture their snapshot of themselves in your system, I'll give you an example. We were at Ohio State my last year there, and Andrew Nembhard came on a visit, and we're in the video room and we're showing him clips and Coach Modest talking. And this kid kind of knew this guy's going to be really good. But the way he was answering some of Coach's questions, and he was actually finishing some sentences based on how reads were being made. And he wasn't doing it disrespectfully. He was actually exactly right. And so you're saying, wait a minute. All right. Now, obviously, he's done what he's done. One of the best guards in the NBA. But that session is really a big deal, not just for kids, but for parents, too, because parents want to see, how's my little Johnny going to be utilized? And now, Austin, you probably seen this now more than ever. Visits are nowhere near what they used to be. because kids are in basically visits now is 36 hours, a recruiting visit. So how people have to get in the film and get out of film and be a little bit smarter and more efficient about that is probably as important as it's ever been.
Absolutely. In the games, it's evolved, and we don't have to get all that, but for the better, for the worse, like especially with visits, because there's obviously one conversation that probably dominates most of those visits, right? But I think there's still a place, like for this thing to be sustainable, like there's still, it's not all transactional. It's still got to be transformational. And the video is a great anchoring point for that, because you show that you sell the vision. This is where I want to get you to. This is the plan to get you there. What we're going to do with you off the court, how we're going to pour into you. Cause like, this is what I need you to be. I need you to perform like this guy. It's not just to get you. The goal is not to get you here to commit to us. The goal is to get you here to commit to us so you can perform. So that's just the first little step of the equation. Now I've got to get you. Cause ultimately, like, I need to keep my job to put food on the table for my family. I need you to go execute that. I think in for those kids to sustain that other part of the conversation, the NIL, like they've got to perform. That's how you're going to get paid. Yeah. It might get you your first check, like the forecast, but what's going to make it sustainable? And it's being at a place that has a vision for you, that's invested in you, that's about the right things and can do it in a sustainable manner.
And if they've had a guy go to the next level at your position, now that film comes into play.
Yes.
Right. No, yes. We actually, part of this film is, believe it or not, we showed Mike Conley Jr. in some of these pick and rolls that we were showing to Andrew Nembhard. So it could just made sense that. So that's another big part of the film piece is selling the vision at that place, but saying, here's where we see you ultimately being at this level if you do your job here with us.
That some of the best memories in the video room, especially Kentucky, working on the breakdown film for these visits, right? And you're scouring the internet for any clips you can find of this kid because you're trying to show a clip of this kid coming off like a step up on the right side. And then you're trying to show John Wall coming up a step up on that same side of the court in that same position with right. Kentucky. And then you're going and trying to find the same thing in the NBA with the same defensive coverage and getting to the same like in and out, like pull up. So you're trying to find that scour and every resource you can get your fingers on, trying to find the EYBL film or some exactly. high school or whatever. Yeah.
OTE. Yeah. Yep. All that. Yeah, exactly. No, great.
Well,
stuff,
Austin, I'm going to give you one final question. And what that question is, it's going to encompass both of these. It's going to encompass the coaching side. It's going to encompass the synergy side. If my typical question I like to ask is if you had any advice for your younger self starting in the profession, but we're going to tweak it a little bit. If you had any advice for yourself or for any GAs or any young coaches out there starting in the profession who are young, and how they could use synergy or film to help gain an advantage over somebody else. I know we just talked about a handful of that, so we already discussed that. But if there was any advice that you have for those young coaches starting, how they could use synergy or film to gain an advantage, what would that be?
Yeah, I would say just get started. Try to get set up with a synergy account. Create some inertia. Don't let perfection be the enemy of progress. That's one thing I struggle with this day. Sometimes it's hard for me to get something rolling because I just like, what all needs to go into it? Just start doing it. Everything on the synergy side, the max editor is where I'd push you. That is, I wish I would have had all these tagging tools when I was younger and somebody to kind of show me the road or push me to do it. Start digging into some of these international databases to some of the, we've got a really good high school database now. There's some really good coaches out there. Just watch as much film as you can. Start to develop your philosophies there. There's so many resources across the board, but in terms of synergy, like that film and video, digging into the international leagues, starting to tag stuff, what you like, what you don't like, and you can always refine it. Any of these tagging templates, they're customizable. You can start with six buttons and or six tags, and you can change those tags, the terminology you use with the tags. You can add more. It's okay to change your mind as you go. A lot of coaches struggle with that one. It's like, I want to do it this way. It's okay to change your mind. It's okay to not know how you feel about something, to chew on it for a while, to entertain an idea and to not accept it. You might think you like something and you can't quite decide, clip it up, store it away in a playlist, come back to it later. It's okay. Your philosophy is going to evolve over time, but if you have it there, if you have it saved, stashed away, tagged, you can come back to it later. There's going to be a point in time where you're like, man, I wish I remembered that action that Wes Miller used to run at UNCG had the little, I think, the Spanish shooting guard, and they ran him off some pin down stuff, and they got really creative out of it. I think about that all the time, and I didn't tag it or save it anywhere. One of these days, I'm just going to go back and watch all of UNCG stuff. But that's a great way to start developing your philosophy and to evolve it over time and to have everything there for reference.
Perfect. Perfect. Love it,
man. Great stuff, brother.
Covers everything. And honestly, one, I want to say, from our perspective, the Rising Coaches perspective, we were fortunate to be able to meet you, I should say, over in Indianapolis. But we were fortunate to be able to meet you, be able to connect there a little bit, and all the other guys with Synergy as well. So one, from our side, we appreciate you guys. I know, like I said, you hopping on a call with me and being able to walk me through Synergy and the different ways to utilize things make life easier, definitely made life easier, at least for me. So not only you, but we also appreciate the whole program and everything that you guys have done so far.
Well, we appreciate you guys equally as much, maybe more. Like, Rich is awesome. Everybody involved with Rising Coach. Like, one of the things I did at Transy that has, again, impacted me to this day is I hopped in my car and I drove up to Indy, ironically, to the Rising Coaches Conference. And I got to meet some of the OGs, Adam Gordon, Brandon Rosenthal, like some of the most, Andy Farrell, like some of the most genuine, best people in the business. Yeah. And it's been a blessing, like the resources you guys have pumped out, trying to get people ready for that next step. It's really cool to be a really small part of it. It was awesome to break bread with you guys. That's something I grew up on. It was always important. I don't know if it's because of the church I grew up in, but it's another thing I did a lot as a young guy coming up is paid for a lot of coffees. Like, anytime there's somebody coming through town or was going to be in town, trying to reach out to a few people and, hey, come. Can you meet me? I'll buy your coffee if you'll give me your time. I didn't really have the money to, like, even a $3-4 coffee when you're on a GA budget or a volunteer D3 budget. That's expensive, but it was worth every penny. And yeah, it's been really cool to watch Rising Coaches grow and see the impact it's had on everybody. So I really appreciate you guys and that opportunity to share my first shrimp cocktail with you.
Yeah, I was going to say, break bread, but St. Elmo's shrimp.
Special experience. Yeah.
That's right. Special. Yeah. Yeah. Next time we'll have a headband ready for you by your plate, because that stuff is real. But now, man, thank you again. And again, for me, huge takeaway today is just your transparency, man. I feel great. It's great that you're still a part of our business. It's coaches. We need more coaches like you in the business. So even though you're right there on the right on the fringe of the coaching business, you're always going to be a coach at heart. Even though you're doing something else, you still have a coach's heart. And we need more guys like you just in our profession, man, that are transparent, that are real, and that are about real relationships and sharing your soul every now and then. So that, for us, that meant the world today, man, for you to be as open and transparent about your journey. So appreciate you, brother.
It's nice to share back.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, coaches, everybody tuning in, thank you all for tuning in to another episode. Rising Coaches Podcast, Alan Major, Doug Caputo. Yet again, keep working, keep rising coaches. See you all soon. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together. We'll be right back.
coach? Are you still hanging on to that old shooting machine that's just sitting in storage and not getting used at all? Our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball are here to help trade in your machine. Any make, any model, in any condition, even if it's from a competitor. Plus, you get an extra $250 off the Dr. Dish commercial lineup when you mention Rising Coaches.